Hey everyone, this is Andy. Today we are wrapping up our series, Better Than Normal. If you haven't heard the other messages in this series, I really encourage you to go back through our podcast and listen to them. We've discussed some really practical things that you can do to have a better than normal life. And today, that's exactly what we're talking about. How can we have a life that is better than normal? It's easier than you might expect.
Week 5 of Better Than Normal series. That's what you're here for. We're actually wrapping this series up. I hope you've enjoyed this series as much as we have. Lots of really practical content to kick your new year off, to take steps in the journey of getting closer to God. Here's the idea. As believers, as followers of God, when we say we can't wait for things to get back to normal, that ought to be settling for us because normal was never intended to be part of the journey. In fact, following God and all that he is and all of who he is was never intended to be something that just produces normal people. That ought to be to the settle. Better than normal was the goal of saying, here's what it looks like. Here's practical steps to take that you and I might experience the better than normal that God intended for us from the beginning. Just taking Jesus at his word, as one of his eyewitness quoted him in the book of John, of saying, these are Jesus' words, I came so that they, anybody that follows Jesus, can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. If that's true, then why is it so often that so many of us settle for normal? Even less than normal. Is Jesus to be trusted or is he not? And if he's to be trusted, what are we missing and what are the steps to take to get in line with all that Jesus is trying to do in and through us? We started with this big idea in week one. It's kind of been woven through the whole thing. I want to begin the wrap up kind of back where we started with this big idea. There is no neutral relationship with God. We're either drifting from him or we're getting closer to him. If you're idle, if you're stagnant, if you feel like just showing up to church on a Sunday is all that is necessary, I wonder how often and how much we're leaving on the table in the pursuit of better than normal when God has more for us, because we're not going to drift towards him. It takes active, intentional pursuit of getting closer to God, which is the mission of our church. That's what we're here to accomplish. So to wrap this whole thing up, and we've done some really, really cool stuff. Last week, Chad and his wife had live a video of their live experience of marriage therapy. And I was so happy it wasn't me on stage. But that content was so helpful. All week long, I've been working through the advice of the marriage counselor and then adding to my wife, do you see me following the counselor's recommendations? You must be so happy. Which doesn't seem to follow the advice of the marriage counselor. And so I'm going to keep watching it, all right? It's a pursuit of getting better. That's part of the journey. We've talked about how to have a better than normal family and how when you follow Jesus, it's actually Jesus redefines what family means. We talked about better than normal finances and how to achieve that in a way that you can make impact with it and not be a slave to your dollars. We talked about how to have a better than normal relationship with God if you and I are willing and interested in putting in the energy and effort that it takes to pursue that. But to wrap this series up, to put a bow on all of this, to give you a final thought, I wanted to process this question. What does a better than normal life look like? Obviously, this will be easy to answer in 30 minutes or less, right? This is a complex question that, quite honestly, is going to look a lot different for you than it looks different for me. And it's going to look different for the person next to you than it will you and me, because all of this were made individually, uniquely by God with an individual and unique purpose. But I do believe there are some characteristics of that better than normal life that I hope this series has inclined you to pursue that are worth wrapping up today. It's a conversation that I think is really, really important for us. This series has not been about giving you a list of do's and don'ts so that you can some way attempt to impress God or get him to love you more. That's not what this is about. That's just sort of religiosity. That's a religious checklist, and ain't nobody got time for religion, because following Jesus is about a relationship. It's about something so much deeper and more personal than religion. And so what does the better than normal life look like? If we follow the steps of this series, if you've missed them, go catch them on YouTube, like them, share them, subscribe to that. Send them to your friends if they're going to be helpful. But if we follow those steps, what does the better than normal life look like? And here's what I want to caution you, because even during this series, the temptation probably exists to say, I want a better than normal life. I don't think anybody's sitting in the room saying, I'd rather settle. I'm aiming at less than. I would rather life just be way more difficult, way less than normal, average maybe at best. Nobody says that. We all have the pursuit of better than normal, but what does that mean? And here's the truth that I want to present today. Better than normal is not something that you can look at out across culture. It's not something that you can look to your neighbors or to certain family members or friends necessarily and find. Because if better than normal was common, if better than normal was something everybody was living, then everybody would be doing what we've been talking about this series. Everybody would ultimately be seeking what God has in store for them. But that's not really the example. In fact, maybe to begin this message, I need to remind you of what better than normal is not. Better than normal is not an aim to make you become a monk or a nun in order to have an entirely close relationship with God. If some of you are called to that, bless you in your service. I couldn't do it. I'm pretty sure a lot of us couldn't. That's not the goal. Better than normal is not in an effort to have a conversation about finances so that you and I can get rich, as if rich is the satisfaction our souls are looking for. In fact, you can easily look towards the wealthy and see people that may have all the finances in the world, but certainly don't have a fulfilling and satisfied life. And quite honestly, when it comes to the economy of the world, you and I, as people that live in America, we are the rich. And so if it was about being rich, then we ought to be the picture of soul satisfaction in our culture. But we know that's not the truth necessarily, right? Better than normal is not about being famous. It's not about being an influencer. It's not about being a name that everybody knows, because you can point and look towards Hollywood as some of the emptiest, loneliest people that walk the earth. Better than normal is better than that, for sure. Better than normal is not about achieving or having or gaining power. Because we can all point to people that we've known or seen that have been absolutely corrupted by power, and that's anything less than better than normal. That's corruption is not the goal here. This is not a journey about something that's easily found. It's not about a life that's easily acquired. It's about the journey of being willing to say, God, who have you made me to be, and what does it look like for me and you to pursue the unique life that he created us with. That's the goal of this series. And as I was preparing even this message to wrap up this Better Than Normal series, I was reminded of a quote I saw a few months ago from a guy named Bob Goff. He's a Christian thinker and writer. Bob actually says this: everybody wants to make a difference in the world. Only a few people want to be different than the world. Because you're not going to make a difference in the world if you live your life exactly like the rest of the world. Like, that makes sense to us on paper. I would assume most of us would see a quote like that and be like, duh, if I don't live differently, I'm probably not going to make much of an impact. And here's what I want to point out. The temptation, again, back to the purpose of this series, is for many of us to say, yeah, I want the better than normal life. So God, I'm going to show up on Sunday, and then I'm going to go back to my normal life every week, and I'm going to wait on you to pour out the blessing of better than normal for me. And I think far too many believers are really busy waiting and feeling like better than normal is never obligating them to do anything different. Now, I'm not talking about religious hoops and religious checklists. That's not what it's about. I'm just saying, in order to make a difference, in order to find the better than normal, it means we're going to have to live different than normal to find that. In fact, if I could give you one kind of thought for the day, it's that the way of Jesus is not about what you have and how much you have. The way of Jesus is actually more about how you impact people with what you have and who you are. That's a better than normal life. That's a life that makes a difference. That's a life that changes the world. I just want to go no further than to look at the example of Jesus. The way Jesus lived his life was so uniquely different. I can't encourage you enough. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament, and watch how Jesus lived so refreshingly different. So loving, so kind, so not caught up in legalism and in jumping through hoops and in religiosity. That wasn't his way. And many people followed him. They watched him. There were eyewitnesses to how he lived his life. They actually recorded a lot of his life because they wanted the story to live on. They wanted the historical account of this man to be real, even for us 2,000 years later. And 2,000 years later, people are still talking about Jesus, the definition of a better than normal life. And I want you to see his example. Here's the picture of the story we're about to peek into. It's real, it's recorded by eyewitnesses, but Jesus knew that his time on earth was beginning to wrap up. He knew that his demise, the end, the going to the cross was about to happen. And so this is almost like he gets a last few moments with his disciples before he's gonna go through some of the most incredible pain this world could throw at him. It would seem that this is one of those moments that if Jesus needed to wrap anything up, make any final points, or give anything else the emphasis that it deserved, this would sort of be the minute. This would sort of be the teaching, and this would be the time. And I want you to peek into this moment with his disciples with me. This is from the book of John in your Bibles in the New Testament, starting in chapter 13, verse 1. It says this. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And I want to rush by that too quickly because I know for some folks tuning in or some folks joining on any campus today, you are not 100% confident that there's a God out there that loves you. And I want you to understand that based on the power of this moment, what Jesus was feeling and what Jesus knew to be coming, it was important enough that this eyewitness recorded that Jesus understood that he had loved the people of earth, not only those he was with in the moment, but he loved them all the way to his end. And I need you to understand something that's true about our faith and it's true about Jesus, that whatever you've believed about God walking into this moment, this message won't make much sense to you apart from the truth, the reality that God loves you. No buts, no exclusions, no exceptions. You can't get out of that. You can't excuse your way out of it. You can't defer to your past enough. You can't point to something that will disqualify you from God's love. You are loved so deeply by God. If you hear nothing else today, as we collectively respond to the goodness of God that we sang about earlier, we're responding to his goodness that loved us, me and you, even at our worst. And he loved us well to the end. And here's what that meant for Jesus. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knew this was coming. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. Here's the big moment. Jesus knows that it's coming. He's with his close friends and he stands up. I imagine most in the room are like, wow, all right, Jesus is getting up. Let's see what he has to say. He laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, just a little cultural context, because just reading that, I think for a lot of us in today's culture, we look at something like that and say, oh, that is weird. And you're right, it is. But let me explain why. This was a common ritual back in this day. It was not something that was uncommon for those people because they didn't have the technology we did. They didn't have paved streets. They didn't have enclosed shoes. And so their feet walking in the dirt, the mud, the dust, and in sandals would often get nasty. And then you think about the lack of hygiene that existed back in this time. They probably weren't frequently using Dove or Old Spice soaps. They were disgusting. Disgusting, nasty feet. The person that got drawed the short straw that had to wash the feet of the house guests was usually the lowest servant in the totem pole. So here we have a regular cultural experience for these people of something that is absolutely, if not more disgusting than it would seem to be. And you have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus in human flesh that stood from the table to make a defining moment out of this experience. And instead of a speech, instead of forcing them to bow the knee and hail him as God and King, which he certainly deserved, he puts on a towel and he grabs the nasty foot washing water bowl and makes his way around to his disciples. God in human flesh began to wash feet. God in human flesh began to wash feet. Jesus was always living different. He was always loving different. We've never seen anything like him. And if it sits a little weird, if it sits a little gross, if you're asking yourself why, I think you're on the right track, because even one of Jesus' disciples, Peter, Simon Peter was his name, Simon struggled with what Jesus was doing. Here's what Simon said. Jesus came to Simon Peter, who said, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Like the lowest servant role of this ritual that you, Lord, are doing to me? It's like, God, Jesus, I can't let you do that. Jesus, I'm sure Simon Peter knew about the fungus and clumps that were going on between his toes. And he's like, Jesus, I can't let you stoop to that place. You're Jesus. I'm Simon Peter. And I know what's in there. Jesus answered him, "What I'm doing, you do not understand now, but afterward, you will understand." Because Jesus, the point he needed to make was in this exchange. Because the disciples couldn't fully get it in that moment. They couldn't understand it yet, because Jesus hadn't yet gone to the cross. Because you want to talk about the ultimate act of service. Something so unfair and even more disgusting than washing dirty feet is to die an innocent death that a man, Jesus, did not deserve. And you know why he died that death? Because I deserve that death. You deserve that death. Because of the uncleanness inside of us, the dirt and gunk in our souls, the brokenness in our journey, the sin, as the Bible calls it, the opposite of God's plan for us and the decision to choose self over him, it was that disgust inside of me that would need cleansing and washing. And the reason the disciples couldn't yet fully understand what Jesus was doing is they hadn't yet seen the cross. And that's why this eyewitness writing after the cross and the subsequent resurrection is able to write back into this moment that the disciples had no clue. But you and I, with the privilege of living on this side of the cross and on this side of the resurrection, we know the power of this moment, that by trusting Jesus with all of us, by allowing Jesus to get close, by allowing Jesus to be the cleansing that our souls desperately need, that's the only space that our souls can find purification. That's the only space that forgiveness of sin can happen. to look to a cross where an innocent man hung in my place and yours. And now to get to look to an empty tomb that's empty because death could not stop the power of God in Jesus. And to have the opportunity now to allow that to sit on us in a way like Simon Peter that says, Jesus, not my feet, but instead on this side of the cross and on this side of the empty tomb to be able to say, God, please me too. That's what this faith journey is about. It's not about perfect people that have it together just trying to be more perfect. It's not about a group of people that sit in church because we have life figured out. It's not about a group of people that have all the answers. Instead, we are a journey, a collective of folks that recognize the power of this foot washing moment and say, Jesus, please me too. Because God, if you could forgive me, if you could wash me, if you could heal me, I would find something, my soul would find something that this world can't offer me. That was the power of that moment. That was the power of Jesus stooping down. That was the power of what Simon Peter was experiencing, the depth of that. Jesus and Simon Peter go back and forth for a few verses, Jesus assuring him that Peter needed to allow this to happen, to experience the fullness and understand it completely. And so the story continues just a few more verses down in verse 12. When he had washed their feet and then put on his outer garments and resumed his place, it was never not his place, he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, you see the weight of who this man is, man and God, Jesus. If I then washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That's context, okay? Stick with the symbolism here. We're not gonna ask you to grab the soap and turn to your neighbor, okay? You can take a deep breath. Verse 15, for I've given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. In other words, if we're going to follow Jesus, this is the picture, this is the goal. As believers, there's never a person, a posture, a position, or anyone that is beneath us or below us from being able to follow the example given by Jesus in the way he served. Because Jesus then said this, and there's so much power in this verse. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Take that moment in for just a moment. Jesus just washes the feet. He's just experienced all of these things. And he wraps it up by saying, if you get this example, and even now living on the other side of the cross in that empty tomb, and looking back through that lens and the power of Jesus' example, of his ability to cleanse us as human beings that we cannot do on our own, blessed are you if you do them. Blessed, that sure sounds like better than normal, right? But don't miss what Jesus said specifically. I want to point your attention to it. Blessed, blessed are you. This is the blessing you can receive from God. This is the better than normal that would be available to those of us that are trying to follow God. This is everything we would hope for to experience a better than normal. This side of heaven, blessed are you if you do them. See, following Jesus has never been about what we can get. God is not a genie in heaven that we can rub the lamp and ask him for something and expect him to show up for us. But you better believe when it comes to your purpose and your mission and the pursuit of God as you and I work to get closer to him, there are moments in our journey that God would love to bless his children when we respond to who we were made to be. I feel like that may be the key piece in this better than normal journey that we tend to be missing. Week one, why do we want a better than normal relationship with God? Because the closer we get to God, the more we get to walk in our purpose. How satisfying a life does it get to be when we become who we were made to become? Week two, why do we want better than normal finances? So we can be filthy rich and drop stacks all the time? No. It's so that being in control of our money, we get to make an impact on others that we otherwise don't get to. Why do we want to seek a better than normal family or understand what it means to be family in God's eyes anyway? Is it so that we have the Instagram worthy pictures and everybody can look to us to be jealous as if that was even real? No, it's about loving people and helping them know that they're known, seen, loved, and desired and pursued by God. Why do we want better than normal marriages? To brag as if we're the number one husband and wife? What if it was about an impact beyond what any of us thought capable for this kind of union here on earth? Why do we want a better than normal life? If it's about stuff, it's about what we get, I think we're leaving a lot on the table with that picture. And remember what I said? I think there's too many believers that are showing up every Sunday saying, yes, God, I want the better than normal. And I'm going to sit on my butt all week waiting on you to shower me with blessings so that I can go back next Sunday and say, I'm living the better than normal. And we never get busy doing the very things God has called us to do. When Jesus said, blessed are you if you do them. God's not keeping score. He's not rating you on this. It's not about judgment and it's not about performance. It's an invitation to step into a story that's bigger than ours. It's a story of cleansing and of transformation that makes the world better because God is a part of it. If I left you with one thought for this series, it would be this. We experience a better than normal life when we maximize our investment in others. That's the bottom line. Your life's not going to get better if you get rich. Your life's not going to get better if you end up working towards a different relationship. Your life's not going to get better just because you exclude certain family members. Your life's not going to get better because you cut people out of your life on social media. Your life's not going to get better if you do all of these different things. Your life is maximized. Your influence is felt and your better than normal is experienced as you see how that makes an impact in others' lives. That's a better than normal that this world hasn't yet found. I think about the people outside of my family that have made some of the most impact in my life. It was a student pastor that as a teenager began to point out and recognize giftedness in me that helped me find a calling in ministry that now allows me to do what I get to do. That was a $0 investment. And his influence, you're all experiencing through me. That when I got a job as a student pastor for my first full-time role in ministry in general in Lexington, Kentucky, it was an associate pastor that pulled me aside on one of my very first days as I'm sitting there thinking, cool, I'm a student pastor. Whoa, what does that mean? And he said, I want you to know that I see what God's doing in your life and I see the plans, some of the plans that he has for you. Keep going, keep walking into it. And hundreds of teenagers in Lexington, Kentucky, one of which I get to do their wedding later this year, that God used me to make an impact in. And that cost me $0. It looks like a friend just earlier this week that says, let's grab lunch. And he's willing to sit down and say, let me give you just a little bit of wisdom for your life. It's not because they gave me a lot of money. It's not because they tried to fix me. It's just because these people invested in me. And think about those lives that have made the most impact in you. Probably not tied to a lot of stuff. Probably tied to their time. Living better than normal is just about looking for ways to maximize your investment in other people. Let me make it practical, very, very simple. Please don't make this any harder than it ought to be. So how do you do this? How do you maximize your impact? Let me give you some questions that'll prepare you for the moment. Start with this. Who? Who can you impact in any given moment? Maybe it's sitting in a church. Maybe it's heading to a restaurant for brunch or lunch after this. Maybe it's going to the grocery store. Maybe it's the people that live in your own home. God, who can I impact? Who needs it the most? Because I want to invest. And then you go to what? What can I do? God, what is one simple thing that allows me to invest in someone else? Please don't make it harder than it needs to be. Because the next question is, when? When can I do this? Well, God, I'm here right now. They're here right now. So how can I, what can I, maybe it's just smiling. Maybe it's an extra generous tip. Maybe it's a compliment. Maybe it's a kind word, or maybe it's something even more significant, but please don't try to make it harder than it needs to be, because then you just need to ask yourself, where? Well, here I am, and there they are. Maybe now's as good a time as ever, and this place works too. Because the last question is simply, how? How do I put these together and do something? But you know what? If we never open our eyes to the needs of people all around us, we will show up next Sunday and say, God, I'm searching for the better than normal. Will you help me find it? And I wonder how many times God's like, how did you miss all those opportunities this week? Why? Why do all these things? I want to help people get closer to God. That's the heartbeat, helping people, all people, get closer to God. Why do that? Because that's the hope of their souls finding wholeness. The cleansing that we know everybody's searching for, the repair and the redemption of the brokenness that all of our stories include. But that can't happen if we just sit around and wait for God. Sometimes the waiting is the action. But if you're feeling stuck, if you feel like you're missing your purpose, if you feel like you're in a season, a dry season in your journey with the Lord, if you feel like you're ready for the next step in the journey, you know what your goal should be? Who can I invest in? Can I give you two questions really quickly? One, do you know Jesus? Because if you're spinning your wheels, if you're looking for dues, if you're feeling empty, if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling incomplete, and you're just trying to perform to fill that void, that's an empty life that will not help you find wholeness when that's only tied to the cleansing that Jesus can provide. I'm not asking, do you know about Jesus? I'm asking you, do you know Jesus? Both campuses, we're going to get to see physical demonstrations of people that are declaring outwardly that not only do they know Jesus, but they're going to give it their best to follow him. They've experienced life change. Second question, number one, do you know Jesus? Number two, are you making an impact in anybody's life? Please don't make it harder than it needs to be. But what if we collectively made the pledge that in every moment, who, what, when, where, how? And we just did it. Imagine the impact. Imagine the life change. Imagine how many people would be like, yeah, those crazy Christians are some of the nicest people I've ever met. And we get the opportunity to say, let me tell you why I'm a crazy Christian. Because Jesus has changed my life. He's given me a life that will forever be better than normal. And I hope that collectively we work to live that life out. Better than normal. It's just on the other side of what you and I decide to do in this faith journey with who Jesus is and what he's calling us to. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for a few moments as we wrap up a collective desire to experience a better than normal life. God, as believers, I hope we are always just settling when it comes to normal. But God, I think the answer to better than normal is less about what we acquire and more about who we impact with what we have and who we are. So Jesus, will you help us to be found faithful with that? Those of us that know you and love you, God, would you put a burning desire in our hearts to impact people and help people, all people get closer to you, God. But for all of my friends that are present, that are tuning in on a campus or in the room or online, God, for everyone that doesn't know you, that's searching for healing, for hope, for repair, for redemption, for peace, for love, for a joy that this world can't offer. God, I pray that today, or as a result of today, begins a journey of getting closer to you. Thank you, Jesus, that not only did you wash feet, but you died for me, for my friends, for us. May we live out of that truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We've all heard the saying, a picture paints a thousand words. And this saying exemplifies what Jesus did by washing the disciples' feet. He turned what was normal on its head. Rather than demanding the status he rightly deserved, he lowered himself to the position of servant as an example to us all. Then Jesus said, "Now that you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." To have a blessed, better than normal life, let's turn normal on its head and invest in others. What opportunity can you take this week to do just that?